From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Hayward.
Richmond.
San Pablo.
Yeah, San Pablo.
I live in Novato.
Emeryville.
Rockridge.
I live in Berkeley.
This hour, we're going to the experts. We'll learn how to find a precious resource underground.
Is there water 100 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet?
How to make it as a transgender person in prison.
I try to tell the girls, you know, come in, act like a lady. Your actions dictate how men will treat other girls.
And we learn how to make violins sing.
Just like with humans, there are different voices. I mean, they're all the same pitch, but the voice characteristic can vary quite a bit.
It's Cross Currents. Let's do this. Today on Cross Currents, we're learning how to do things. And with me is someone who knows how to do a lot of things. San Francisco actor, producer, choreographer, Darcy Drollinger. Hey, Darcy.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, thanks for coming.
I'm very happy to be here.
Darcy is the owner and artistic director of the Oasis Cabaret in San Francisco, which you just opened this year.
4 months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you very
much. So tell our listeners what it's all about.
Well, it's been a wild and wonderful ride. We opened New Year's Eve, and we're just celebrating just over 4 months. It is a theater, cabaret, nightclub where we do everything from live music, drag shows, dance parties, creating sort of a clubhouse, as we like to call it. Mm-hmm. It's 120 seats. We just opened our roof deck, so we even have that now. So we've been having a blast, and it's really shown itself as something the community needed. So it's a lot of fun. SFOasis.com is the website. You can check out all our different offerings. We're open 7 days a week.
Wow, 7 days a week, huh?
Crazy, crazy.
Well, you can also find Darcy every Sunday leading what he calls a body positive and age positive dance experience where anyone can come, quote, this, I'm quoting him, work a look, break a sweat, and be fabulous. Now, before I ask you more about that, we got a clip here that can kind of help explain what the class is all about. Let's listen to it.
All right, let's get started. I hear people coming up the stairs. Good morning, Beatrice.
A couple dozen people gather at the Academy of Ballet. It's early, 11 a.m., and while it looks like your standard dance studio, you know, there's wall-to-wall mirrors up front and ballet bars in the back, it's clear that this is not your average dance class. For starters, there's the students.
We have people who are 60.
Doctors.
People who are obese.
Drag queens.
People who've had HIV for decades.
And then there's folks like this.
I write software which helps manage the logistics at ports.
And this.
I teach AP Calculus and Algebra 2 and Algebra 1.
And this.
I work at a really vanilla job. We actually specialize in investment management.
On the surface, they all have something in common.
I work at a place that's pretty stodgy.
And that's one of the reasons they've come here today.
It's fun to be able to just dress up one day a week at least and live the dream.
That was a clip from a story that KALW's David Boyer reported about a weekly dance class taught on Sundays in San Francisco by my guest who's with us in studio, Darcy Drollinger. So, Darcy, what made you want to start this class?
You know, I had moved here from New York, and I hadn't found a dance class that I was connecting to. So I thought, build it and they will come, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. I found a studio, opened it up. And a few friends came the first week, and it kept building a little bit and a little bit more. And, you know, I learned early on that if you look good, you dance better, right? So first step, look fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then people can start moving. So more and more, I encouraged people to come dress up and turn it into a party.
Dress up in what?
Well, I have a...
Give us a visual.
I have a spandex addiction. But beyond that.
I'll ask you about that spandex addiction later. We sure. have to go to our first story now, which has to do with water, which you may drink if you get thirsty and sweaty at one of your classes, right?
Absolutely.
California is in its worst drought in more than a century. The lack of rain has forced the state to turn from the sky to the ground to find this precious resource. And it's down there, but you have to know exactly where it is. So, for example, say you want to build a well. You can just pick a spot and drill. You can have a geologist use mapping and scientific data to get a lay of the land, or you can hire a water witch. These are people who search for water, usually using two thin iron rods that they say cross each other when there's water under the earth. They say this practice is called dowsing, and it dates back thousands of years. KALW's Leela Day met up with a water witch in Napa Valley to see how it all works.
Is there 40 gallons a minute? Yes.
Mark Mondavi is a winemaker.
Is there 50 gallons a minute?
You might recognize his name from the wine aisle at the grocery store.
Is there 60?
Right now, he's walking out near his vines in Napa Valley.
Is there 70 gallons a minute?
But his focus is not on wine. He's looking for water. He's holding two thin L-shaped iron rods. They're called divining rods. And he's asking them, where's the water?
Then we have to find out, how deep do we drill? Is there water 100 feet? Is there water 200 feet? Is there water 300 feet?
Mark Mondavi searches for water underground by letting something unexplained guide him.
I think it's just something you have in your body. Some people can run a Ouija board, some people can't.
He discovered this gift when he was a teenager, and he knows that there are some non-believers.
Scientists all want facts. Well, there's no facts to this. There's no science that's proven that I have or don't have an energy.
This energy that he's talking about isn't anything new agey. It has some deep roots. One of the first images of dowsing appears in an etching in the Tisili Caves in the Sahara. It dates back to around 6,000 BC. And there's even what some say is a dowsing reference in the Old Testament, when Moses was asked,
"Take the rod, and gather thou assembly together, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock."
And as years go by, there are even more records of dowsing on farms and during the medieval era. By the 1500s, dowsing was denounced as the work of the devil. But the water witches continued on, because many have seen it actually work. Like Mark Mondavi, who's showing me how to douse on his vineyard.
Find me an underground water stream. Boom. They cross.
He actually already knows there's water here. He's doused this spot before and dug a well. But he's also had success elsewhere, and he's been paid $500 to do this. Some scientists have tried to figure out how this is all going down. Why is it that some people are able to find water with divining rods? But nothing is conclusive. Even Mondavi doesn't really know why he can find water with these rods. I ask him to describe this energy he feels when he's dowsing for water.
I can't. I can feel it before I get to it. I talked mine. You don't need to talk to them. You can think your questions. It's all yes and no questions. These rods are not capable of pontificating on water.
He hands me his divining rods to see if I have the gift.
Just hold them like this. Ask them to find you the underground water stream.
Find me the underground water stream.
Now start walking and think it while you're...
Mondavi knows where the water is, and I walk right over it.
I don't think you have the energy that I do, but...
How do I get it?
You just have it or you don't?
I thought for sure I'd have it.
You have a little.
I'm no water witch. Mondavi says a lot of farmers in the valley rely on water witches, even if they don't hire him.
A good 50% or more of the customers will probably use a water witch if they have the space for multiple drilling sites.
That's Gonzalo Salinas. He's one of the owners of McLean & Williams, a drilling company in Napa.
There's been cases where we go and drill a well in a property and the site has been picked by a geologist or somebody with a different type of instrumentation to locate the well site, and it turned out to be a dry hole, a dry well. Then the witcher will come over and pick another site, and it turned out to be a well.
Selena says no method of finding water is guaranteed, but
in the scale 1 to 10, water witching is probably a 7.
And it's cheaper.
A witcher can range anywhere between $500 to probably $1,000 to come over and witch a site for you to drill, where geologists, you can spend sometimes as much as the well, thousands of dollars to do a study.
Selena says he can also detect these energies underground.
20 years ago, if somebody was to call me and ask me where they can locate a witcher, I normally made the joke to look in the Yellow Pages and look under a spooky. I didn't believe on it, but over the years, I started doing it myself, and then I became more of a believer.
It all sounds so simple. If you feel the energy, let the sticks point you into the direction, and poof, there may be water. But a hydrogeologist would recommend something a little more concrete.
Look at some of the written records by previous geotechnical engineering contractors on that area.
That's Norman Miller, a professor at UC Berkeley's Department of Geography.
Do some research with the Department of Water Resources and try to find archives of what is already known before doing anything.
Some hydrogeologists even use ground-penetrating radar to detect water underground. Miller tells me that blindly drilling for water is definitely not the best way to go. So I ask him what he thinks about the powers of dowsing.
Well, I'm an optimist, and I think that there may be things that I'm not that aware of that go beyond my perspectives and worldviews, so I'm going to stay open-minded.
Which is exactly what the dowsers recommend to find water the old-fashioned way. The magic of the divining rods and an open mind. Back on Mark Mondavi's vineyard, he pulls out a bottle of the divining rod, a new wine label of his with two dowsing rods crisscrossed on the front.
Ex aqua venum. From water comes wine.
You just have to know how to find the water. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.
You're listening to a special edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and I'm here with Darcy Drawlinger, an actor, producer, dance teacher extraordinaire here in San Francisco. We're learning how to do things in today's show. We just heard how to find water underground. Darcy, do you think you have that special power?
Actually, I think everybody has that special power. I was taught by a dowser myself, but not to find water, but to use a pendulum, using a stainless steel pendulum. And I got to tell you, I couldn't do it very well. And then she had me keep working and keep working. And it's amazing how you can tune into that power. So I firmly believe everyone can do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what do you think, though, of our reporter, Leela Day, you know, thought she doesn't have that? So
he said she didn't have it. But I think, you know, the first time you may not be able to do it. But I bet if she kept doing it, she would find that. And she has to believe in it. You think if you don't believe it, it's not you're not going to tune in. But if you trust yourself.
So you know about this. Hey.
You can add that to my list of credits there.
Of credits, right. Dowser. Well, you've definitely got many gifts. Choreography, just one of them. But you're also an actor, director, producer of various stage acts. When did you first discover each of these talents in yourself? Was it all at the same time, or did you dance first, then act?
You know, I danced when I was a little kid. I told my mother I wanted to be Fred Astaire when I was 3. And she supported that. And I took a lot of dance when I was a kid. She was also she was into the arts. So, you know, jazz, tap, ballet, piano, violin, and acting. So I got a lot of that early on. But you know what? I think all the different things that I have found that I love to do, I do them because I love to do them. Mm-hmm. And I think if you think you can do them, just like dowsing, you can do them, mm-hmm. you know? And I think if you, like everything, if you love the process, then you're kind of set. So find things that you love to do and learning how to do.
You almost said the thing and then you said things because there are many for you.
It's hard. You know, it's hard to pick. And that's why I love when they all kind of merge together because there was a time when I thought, you know what, I'm not going to be successful if I don't pick one thing only. You see many people who do that.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. But I think nowadays it's the days of Renaissance, and I think that it enhances everything to be able to say yes, I can do that.
All right, we'll talk more a little later, and we just want you to know that we're kicking off our spring membership campaign. Today is the first day. It's a time for our listeners to show their local support to local public radio by becoming members here at KALW. You can do that by calling 800-525-9917 or going online to kalw.org. This is all possible with your support. And now I'm going to turn it over to KALW's Ben Trefney and Casey Miner, who are going to talk to you right now about this. Hi!
Hana, hello. This is Ben and...
This is Casey, hello.
And we are so happy to talk with you during the first day of our spring membership drive. And today we've had the goal of having the biggest first day ever. We are well on our way, Casey. I've been in here with Ashley Ann Krigbaum. We've been talking to her on All Things Considered, meeting goals, and we have a new goal, Casey. During this hour of Cross Currents, we are trying to get to 25 calls or clicks, and we're going to get an extra $400 from, do you know who, Casey?
I think you should say who.
From my dad and my stepmom. Thank you, guys. And thank you, listeners. Please become a member at 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
That's right. Thank you, as always, to the Trefneys for their contribution, their challenge. And now I have to say, we are so hyped up about this being the biggest day ever that Ben and I, we have put on costumes for you.
That's because today is Tutu Tuesday, and that means that I am wearing a tutu, and that means Casey is wearing a tutu, and we're doing it because we're celebrating Darcy Drollinger, the runner of the SF Oasis nightclub in Soma District. He is here. And you know, Casey, I was just looking at it. We made a video with Darcy recently where he taught us how to dance. And today, because it's the biggest day we've ever had for a first day of a membership drive, with your support, we are dancing. And you could dance too at 800-525-9917.
Again, that's 800-525-9917. You can also click online at kalw.org. And you know, I just wanted to highlight something that Darcy had to say to Hana just a moment ago about, you know, really finding something that you love, doing what you love. I think you can see if you go and you watch that video and really just hear it. Here on the programming at KALW, we're all in here doing what we love every day, and it just feeds us to get this amazing support from listeners, people who call, who write in and say, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for keeping the programming on, even when you're asking for money. You make it possible for us to do this, for us to continue making the show, doing what we love.
And right now is a really important time for you to support that, to support this community, to support this joyful, informative radio by calling 800-525-9917 online. At kalw.org, we have a 25 call or click challenge that we have to get done in the next 37 minutes, or else we have to give $400 back to the people who donated it to us. But we don't have to if you call right now, 800-525-9917.
That's 800-525-9917. You don't want us to have to give Ben's family back their money. It's no. Really embarrassing for Ben if he has to do that.
I'm going to be held accountable and say, you know, you didn't get people to call enough. You didn't do a good enough job, Ben. But, you know, I know that I can. And with your help, Casey, with the support of our KALW team, with the support of Darcy Drollinger and Darcy's friends who are listening right now, please call at 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
That's That's 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org. There is an open phone line. It is waiting for you to call it. We're going to head back to the show in just a second, but please let us know that you support this way of doing things. We know that you do. 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
And we actually have 10 seconds left because we never interrupt programming at KALW, even when we need the money during a membership drive. So please, while we go back to the show, it's going to be 800-525-9917. Please call with your support or go online to kalw.org. And now we're going to hear our next story.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. There are many situations in life where you might want a how-to manual, but none exists. Take adjusting to life in prison. Now, imagine doing that as a transgender person. That's the subject of this next story from the San Quentin Prison Report.
SQPR is a media collective of prisoners and volunteers from the community working together to give voice to personal growth, social transformation, and restorative justice.
There are 4,000 inmates housed at San Quentin, a men's prison. Just a handful of them identify as transgender. Reporter Lewis A. Scott has the story of how one of them learned to stand her ground. And a note to our listeners, this story does contain language some may find offensive.
Jarvis Clark prefers to be called Lady J.
I'm 5'10 and a half. A lady never gives her weight. I'm a mocha chocolate cappuccino complexion. I'm a 40 double D. I am a Keisha Cole double X. And if any of you know Keisha Cole, you know Keisha Cole is carrying wagon. I'm extremely curvaceous.
She identifies as a woman.
Well, what I do for makeup, one of the things we'll do, we'll take a magazine and with a razor, we'll scrape the pigment of the paint off of a magazine page, add a little bit of Vaseline with a very little bit of water. That could become eyeshadow and rouge and or lipstick. And you have to become a chemist in learning how to mix these colors. Being a woman in a man's prison, it could be so trying, and it's almost like I'm in hell. I'm isolated, I'm ostracized, I'm ridiculed, I'm talked about. Ooh, emotions.
She's been incarcerated for the past 24 years.
When I first came into prison, I had a very, very violent past. I was angry that I was in prison, first off, and I made up my mind that I would not be a victim.
When Lady J first came to prison in the 80s, she says it was a lonely and dangerous place for anyone who identified as transgender.
24 years ago, it was extremely violent. We walked alone. We were basically ostracized. So if you were transgender then and you stood up for yourself, you tended to get a little bit more respect.
One of the places where Lady J has felt the weight of gender bias coming down on her is in the shower room in the West Block. There are a total of 20 shower heads for the general population, and Lady J showers with the rest of the men.
Getting in the shower, guys tend to not want me to stand by them, and sometimes they have the audacity to kind of display it. For instance, the other day, I'm in the shower, so I'm waiting there, and I notice this young man who's mugging me. He looks away, and as I look up again, he's looking at me and he mouths the word faggot. I just stated the fact, get it right, I'm a transgender. And he puts his head down and in shame, he walks out the shower, thereby opening up a shower, and I got in.
Lady J tells me that this discrimination extends far beyond the shower areas. She says that because she confronts all forms of discrimination, she's become empowered to be a mentor for younger transgenders in prison.
Well, I know one of my responsibilities is to try to teach these young girls that come in how to have respect for themselves. Don't let a man dictate who you are and what you should be in his eyes. You are a woman. You're coming in as a woman. Treat and act accordingly.
I just said, it's no way
I can walk around and allow somebody to call me, you know, the faggots, the homosexuals.
That's Crystal, another inmate who Lady J has taken under her wing. She says before coming to prison, she didn't have much guidance about her sexuality.
I thought love was just when a person has sex with me, I will automatically kind of like fall in love with them or in lust with them, whatever you want to call it, and allow them to dictate my all my moves and to guide me and to use me.
Crystal says, has she had a mentor like Lady J on the outside? Things may have turned out differently for her.
It's up to me to try to change the way these men look at transgenders in prison. Because all of us are not loose. All of us are not HIV positive. So that's my mission, is to mentor the ones that will allow me to mentor them and to lead them in a more positive light.
Lady J's mission is a big one. She can be found hanging out on the yard socializing with some of the guys, but she never forgets that she's not one of them. According to her, she's a strong-willed, independent woman who stands up for the rights of herself as well as other transgenders here in San Quentin. She knows what it's like to be a woman in an all-men's prison. From San Quentin Prison Report, this is Lewis A. Scott.
And you're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba, and I'm here with Darcy Drawlinger. Thanks again for being with us.
Great to be here.
Now, I want to hear some like, just a response to what you just heard, to that story.
I mean, that takes guts and courage. And, you know, again, it is letting the authenticity out, you know, and showing that. And I can't pretend to know what that feels like, but I applaud that strength.
Now, that story came from our partners at the San Quentin Prison Report, who are listening to us right now. We really appreciate them. And shout out to everybody at the San Quentin Prison Report from your friends and family here at KALW. Darcy, you've been instrumental in creating a welcoming place for people of all gender identities at Oasis.
Correct.
Cabaret. That's the nightclub you opened very recently. How does it feel to do that at a time when San Francisco's LGBTQ nightlife scene is, you know, their clubs are closing, the Lexington Esta Noche?
You know, it became very clear that more and more there was no, like I said, we wanted a clubhouse. There was no home for the local community.
Which is really interesting because this is San Francisco. It's
crazy.
Famous for
And we had so much great support. You know, Jane Kim was amazing, Scott Wiener, David Campos. They all came and rallied behind what we were doing. We had a lot of support from the community. And, you know, it is a really fabulous story to tell because so many things are closing, and to have something open that is created by locals and by artists, and really, you know, really look at how we plan the whole thing out. You know, we have our bathrooms are, you know, we have full stalls. So it's a multi-gender bathrooms,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't want to segregate people. We wanted there to be that fluidity because we want to welcome everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been great. And I've seen that also in my dance classes too, where it is about encompassing everybody. And it really, people, even if they don't feel like outcasts, they can sense that sense of unity.
Mm. And speaking about the dancing and mm-hmm. Broadway, were you in Hairspray?
I actually worked alongside the producers on Hairspray and the producers on Broadway, really getting to see what it takes to put up a first-class musical, and it was an amazing experience.
And to do it every day for months.
For years.
For years. Some for decades, right?
Yeah. I mean, I worked on Hairspray for 2.5 years.
Oh.
That was a long time, though, and the producers for a year.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to our people who are manning the phones, manning the mics over there.
In tutus. I thought they wore them every day.
They should. They absolutely should.
We could.
You should.
Thank you very much, Hannah and Darcy. I'm Casey Miner. I'm here with Ben Trefney. We are of KALW News.
Yes.
And I also just wanted to give a quick shout out to the guys at the San Quentin Prison Report. They produce some of the most amazing stories that we get a chance to air.
That was a good story.
On KALW. And they, you know, they just do a ton of work. And this is the kind of thing that you really can't hear anywhere else. It's something that is pretty unique to KALW and one of the many kinds of diverse voices that you can hear on our air. We are in our spring membership campaign. This is the first day. We are trying to knock it out of the park on this first day. And we can do that with your support. So please give us a call at 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
And if you're looking for a time to call or click, now is the time to call or click. We are in a 25 call or click challenge. I'm going to say call or click one more time because it's just kind of fun to say call or click. But we have gotten about 7 so far. That means we have 18 left to go to get an extra $400 from our generous supporters who have challenged us. So we need 18 more calls or clicks at 800-525-9917 or kalw.org. Cross Currents is kind of a miracle to me because it comes every single day and you get that amazing production. You get stories that bring you all across the Bay Area, people of all kinds of identities and backgrounds and everything. If you love the Bay Area, then Cross Currents is for you. And since it comes every day, but you know, it only comes once a day, and this is the time. Please become a member. Help us have our biggest first day ever at KALW by calling 800-525-9917.
That's 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org. We are already well on our way to an awesome, awesome first day. So we will let you get back to programming. More from Hannah and Darcy coming up soon. Now back to the show.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Today on the show, we're learning how to do things, including things that only a very few people have mastered. Roland Feller can't play the violin, but he's a world-renowned luthier. That's someone who makes and repairs violins. If you were to walk into his tiny workspace on Divisadero Street in San Francisco, you might find him chatting with musicians from the San Francisco Symphony, advising young players on which instrument to purchase, or even doing emergency fixes for greats like Anna Sophie Mutter or Itzhak Perlman. For more than 3 decades, Feller has been San Francisco's resident violin whisperer, the unseen master who plays a big part in keeping San Francisco's stringed instruments in perfect working order. KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs visited his shop to see how he gives a violin its voice.
When you imagine Roland Feller working on a violin, picture him seated at a tiny old-fashioned desk littered with tools and wood shavings, in a room piled with sheet music, billing forms, and of course, violins. Violins hanging on the walls and from the ceiling. Violins leaning against the table legs on the floor.
Okay, just so you know what these sounds are going to be, this violin came in because it... the bridge had fallen down. It was stored someplace where it was near a heater. And as they were trying to string it back up again, the sound post inside the instrument, you can hear it rattling around inside right now. Doesn't do any good that way.
Feller is responsible for the well-being of many of the city's stringed instruments. His walls are coated with signed autographs of thankful celebrities. His phone rings constantly.
Good morning, this is Ron Feller.
But for him...
sitting on my bench working on an instrument. That's my favorite part.
The sound post he's fixing is one of the most important parts of the violin.
It's so important that in Italian, actually, they call that the soul of the instrument.
Yes, a soul. There's something about the quality of a violin's sound. It's dynamic and energetic. It can express anything from pure, unfettered joy to wretched despair. You'll hear violin in classical music, in bluegrass, in jazz, in Eastern music, even in some dance floor hits. Energetic, adaptable, expressive, the violin feels alive. And that's probably why when people talk about it, they often don't talk about its sound. They talk about its voice.
Just like with humans, that there are different voices. I mean, they're all the same pitch, but the voice characteristic can vary quite a bit. So as a violin maker, what you're trying to achieve is to both have something that is beautiful, aesthetically speaking, that talks back to you, but you also want to be able to hear it in the right hands. Sound will come out of there that touches people too.
Achieving that combination of beautiful aesthetic and beautiful sound is difficult.
To make a really fine violin, you have to have good materials. In most cases, it is maple that's being used for the back, sides, and scroll. Then we also use ebony or rosewood for fittings, and the top is generally spruce.
The better the quality of wood, the more likely the instrument will age well. And then there are the strings. Today, they're often made out of synthetic materials like nylon or Kevlar, but it wasn't always that way.
Traditionally, strings used to be made of gut, sheep gut, generally. If you can imagine having a string made of gut, if it gets a little bit moist from perspiration from the player, or you go from a foggy day outside into a heated room inside, those materials will react to humidity changes.
The violin may be a beautiful instrument, but nobody said it wasn't a finicky one. Other than the strings, the violin is pretty much made exactly the same way as it has been for centuries. The instrument was first created in the mid-16th century by a man named Andrea Amati in an Italian town called Cremona. Amati passed down his knowledge to his son Girolamo, who passed it down to his son Niccolo, who passed it on to people like Antonio Stradivari.
He didn't just make the same violin again and again and again. He did a lot of experimenting and in some ways kind of set standards that we still use to this day.
Chances are you've probably heard of the famed Strads. About 500 of his violins still exist today. These instruments are worth insane amounts of money. In 2011, a violin named Lady Blunt, and yes, violins generally do have names, sold for $15.9 million. Feller's first mentor was a man by the name of Simone Fernando Sacconi, considered by many to be the premier luthier of the 20th century. He's who taught Feller how to build a Strad model violin.
With him teaching me that, I made a Strad model violin to the best of my ability. And finally the point came where I finished it and I strung it up and played a few notes, and I was so disappointed. I thought, my gosh, after all this, that's all the sound that's coming out of this? It's kind of disappointing.
Okay, before you get too crestfallen on Feller's behalf, there's something you should know about new violins, or really any violin that hasn't been played in a while.
The instrument needs a little time to get used to the tension of the strings again, and then also needs to get used again to vibrate, thereby creating the sound. So as the instrument gets played for a while, everything kind of falls in place, if you will, and as time goes by, it will start sounding better and better.
So Feller handed his model Strad off to a violinist to play.
And within that first hour already, I could tell the instrument started to come alive.
And this is what his violin sounds like today. When Feller talks about this violin, or really any instrument he's worked on, he speaks as if remembering an old friend. You can really hear in his voice the affection and respect he has for each one. He clearly thinks of the violin as this living, breathing thing. Something with a soul. For Cross Currents, I'm Nina Gensler-Debs.
Oh, that violin. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and I'm here today with Darcy Drawlinger. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, beautiful. And I love how it really takes the two people, the one who creates the actual instrument and the person to play it. You know, it's kind of a beautiful symmetry.
Yeah, it is. So today we've been learning how to do things, how to make different things. I didn't know any of that about violins.
No, me neither.
Every week you make people
dance
and be happy and joyful. What's your class's name?
Well, the class is called Sexitude.
What?
Sexitude.
Huh?
That's right. It's when you add sexy and attitude together and you combine them into sexitude. So Sundays, I call Sunday school because it has become kind of like church for people. It's 11 o'clock at the Academy of Ballet, which is on Church and Market. The website's sexitude.com. You can find out where that and my other classes happen. but it's a bunch of people coming together, putting on outfits and dancing. I teach the same routine for a month, and people can get better and better as they go. I even have someone who was a student of mine has gone off and started her own Sexitude class on Tuesdays at Dance Mission.
Oh.
Which is amazing.
How's she doing?
She's fabulous. You know, I went and took it. I snuck in and took it.
You took your own class that you taught.
It was amazing to feel like what it was. It was psychedelic to be in the class watching someone else teach the kind of curriculum that I've created for the class.
Curriculum.
Well, I know it sounds very serious.
Yeah.
Soon it'll be like sexy Zumba, right?
We can. Uh-huh.
But I've watched the class totally transform people. Again, all I'm doing is opening the doors there and helping them find their inner sexy.
And you mentioned costumes. We talked about this a little earlier. We couldn't finish. What's up with that?
You know, dressing up basically, I think, brings people alive and lets them. You know, it's I want to say in quotes, a safe space to be sexy, be fabulous, and I honestly believe the more fabulous they can be in class, they take that fabulousness out in the world. And the more fabulous we are out in the world, it's contagious. And the more the world's fabulous, I'm telling you, the happier the place will be.
And leg warmers and spandex bring fabulosity?
Oh, lots of things. I mean, leg warmers, headbands, wristbands. I see some outrageous rhinestone, sexy tops, booty shorts, you name it. People bring it, and they bring it hard.
It's glitter.
And glitter, and, they come with a full face of makeup sometimes. Now, it's not saying you have to, because I'm telling you, we get sweaty. We dance it out. We work it out. And it is a weekly party.
I'll tell you who else is working it out.
Those tutus in the other room.
Ben Trefney and Casey Miner.
Yes!
In that room over there. It's
absolutely. We got
it.
Fabulosity going on here, Hana.
Work it.
That's right. God. And we hope that you are feeling fabulous out there because we are in our spring membership drive and we are coming down the home stretch here with Cross Currents, trying to make this the biggest first day at KALW ever. And we have a challenge, Casey.
We do.
We have a challenge. We're trying to get to 25 calls or clicks within this hour by 6 p.m., and we have 11 right now.
That is close.
It's close.
That's totally close, but it's not close enough. So if you are getting revved up right now, if you're starting to dance, if you're exploring your own fabulosity like we're doing here right now, please take this moment to call or click. Call or click before 6. You're listening right now. You want to do that.
Do it at 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. We have phone volunteers who are there. We have one of our Audio Academy trainees, Marcy Fraser, who's there. We have one of our station engineers, Chris Hoff, who is there. They are ready to take your call. Tell them that you love KALW just like we do. Enough that you might put on a tutu Tuesday.
And you know what else you might put on? You might put on a KALW t-shirt. This is our new t-shirt that we are offering as a gift for a contribution level of $91.70. And it is a pun.
don't know how to explain it. It is some kale leaves that are arranged to form a W. They are green. The t-shirt is yellow. It is fabulous. If you'd like to see photos of it, you can go on kalw.org. And while you are there, consider contributing to our spring membership campaign.
Please do. We have a challenge right now. It's going to help us get to our big goal of $32,000 today. That would make this the biggest first day in the history of KALW. We know we could do it with your support at 800-525-9917.
That's 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org. We are so happy to be here. We are happy to make this thing go with you, our listeners. We see this as you are a huge part of what make us able to do this at all. Listener support makes up close to 3/4 of our budget here at KALW. That is a huge amount. So when we say we're listener supported, we mean it. When you call, when you click, it makes a huge difference to us, to our ability to bring you this show.
That's right. And we want to thank Ed Fernandez of San Jose, who's a longtime member who loves listening to us. Want to thank Lana Sundahl in San Francisco, Don Marie Waddle in Berkeley, our friends from all over the Bay Area. Be our friend. Like us at kalw.org or 800-525-9917. We are going to go back to the show in just a moment here. Just tell you one more time as we go, please call 800-525-9917. And here is our next story.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Today on the show, we've learned to find water, we've learned to make makeup out of magazine ink, and stand your ground as a transgender person in prison. And we've learned to fix up violins. But we've got one more lesson for you, so listen up.
You know that there's things in there, and you know that some of those things are gonna get hurt. You know, it gets deep. It gets really deep.
Next, please.
It takes some planning, but, you know, sometimes it just clicks, you know, and you get the bag, whip it out, you got the double bag together, you just, you know, you're just going real quick.
Can I get a price check on the John Ross Jr. traditional Scottish smoked salmon, please?
My name is Gabriel. I am a employee at a grocery store. Well, when it comes to bagging, the first thing that you'd want to do is make sure that the customer gets to decide how many bags you want. All right, do you need a bag?
Yeah, please.
Single bag, okay?
Yeah.
And then just being able to make sure that the bag will be able to hold what's inside of it. Let's say put the meat, because the meat's the heaviest on the bottom. At this point, I'll probably put the grapes in. You know, sometimes you'll get into a little thing with the customer, and they'll be like, oh, why did you bag it like this? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, that's like the best I thought, you know, I thought you wanted it. But some people want it different ways. I'm usually with the belief of heavy things on the bottom, most importantly.
This is pretty heavy. I don't know. It's tough to judge.
People have broken things in front of me a lot. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes you're like, oh, do you need a bag? And they're like, no. And you're like, no? Like, you sure you're going to be able to make it out? And they'll try to walk out with it, and something will fall and break, you know. I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of asked if you needed a bag, you know, so.
Can I get help on register 2 feet?
A lot of times customers will be like, oh, just throw it in there, you know, and I'll just, it's like, okay, I'll throw it in there, you know. And it's funny, because, like, I'll just, like, be putting some, like, sometimes I'll be trying to put the bread in on top, and they'll just, like, take it and, like, bend it and be like, all right, there you go. But, you know, sometimes you play Tetris, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I could just, like, jam it in, right? Well, you kind of can in the world of grocery bagging. But yeah, I mean, there have been situations where, like, I'll have bagged something up and, like, send them on their way and then realize, I probably shouldn't have bagged it like that. Yeah, you want to make sure it's good. People sometimes will thank me for conscientious bagging and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of nice. I'm like, hey. It's like, I was actually thinking about how I'm going to do this, you know? So, I appreciate the recognition. Chips on top.
Oh, the total's going to be $18.41.
$18.41.
Chips on top, chips on top. Got to remember that. That piece was produced by KALW's Audrey Dilling and Chris Hoff, both of them. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm sitting here with the amazing,
amazing,
Darcy Drollinger.
Chips on top.
Chips on top. Darcy, now things are starting to get really real here, the real, real. We only have a little over, 12 minutes left in the show.
Okay.
So I wanted to show you something that I have to do almost every day here when we come to Cross Currents.
All right.
Teach you how to do something
since
today's show is about doing stuff.
Love it.
Which is the vocal exercises that we have to do before we get on the air.
Really?
And before we record.
Okay.
Yeah? Will you do them with me?
Can you tell I haven't done them?
Well, you'll be good after this.
Okay.
So, the vowels overly exaggerated. Let's go. A.
A.
I. O. U.
U.
Loosening the jaw. Loosening the jaw.
Okay, feels
right,
good.
Right. Loosening the lips. You got to go. Loose lips. Loose lips.
Sink ships. Is that what they used to say?
Uh-huh. All right. Loosen All right. that tongue.
Really low. Oh, I can't do that.
You can go.
Yeah, I can fake it.
There. You are ready to be on the radio.
Now I sound like a radio announcer.
You that, do. And that, you're good.
I did that just from learning
just
those
from
techniques.
That. And I taught you something. I want you to teach me something. I wasn't here that day when you came to KALW and did the video. I need to learn something without us getting up, I suppose, from our chairs. Something about fabulosity and being fabulous.
Well, can you do a big diva snap?
What is that? So like...
Bam! You raise your hand in the air, do big snap. Boom!
Boom!
Because part of that's about being fabulous. Like sometimes we do a double diva snap. Pop!
Pop!
And if you want to do the big one, we do a big spin, both arms up. We look at the ceiling. Legendary. And you're feeling the spotlight shine right down on you.
Ugh. And does the legendary have snaps?
No. The double diva snap has steps. Legendary opens up the arms, open the hands, and let the spotlight shine down on your face. Show it off.
Like that.
Like you own everything, as
Ooh,
they say.
Expensive. I like that.
You know, I've been in part of the new classes, I've been teaching cardio modeling, which I'm telling you is the wave of the future. But we work on our model walk. And we do a lot of the diva snaps, a lot of hips, a lot of model clumps. But people love it. And I say, take that out, walk down the street, because you never know who's walking behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that.
And what does this do for people?
I think, you know.
What do you see?
Self-esteem changes, letting their authenticity out. I've watched people quit their jobs because they wanted to have more fabulous day-to-day lives. I've watched people blossom in ways that I cannot tell you. And again, I don't really take so much of the responsibility. I open the doors, I push play, and the music comes and the community rallies around it. So it is.
And people grow.
People grow. And I mean, when we stop growing, we kind of stop living. So, if you can get engaged and be, like I said at the beginning, enjoy the process, you're golden.
All right. Golden and growth. With that, I'll hand it over to Ben and Casey over there.
Oh, can I give a shout out real quick?
Yeah.
All my Sexitude peeps, call in. We got to support this right now.
800-525-9917. Right now, you heard it from Darcy.
Bring it.
Thank you so much, Darcy and Hannah. 800-525-9917. Online at kalw.org. Got the legendary snap. That's right. So bring it. 800-525-9917. And Darcy nailed it right on the head, because this station's theme, this membership drive, is all about growing. Let's grow this here at KALW. We are getting bigger. We're getting better. And we need your support in order to do it. 800-525-9917.
Again, that's 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org. And that is absolutely right. We think that we do something here that is special. We think we do something that's unique. We know that you think that too, because you're listening right now and you're supporting us with every call or click. We have a listener challenge this hour that we are so close, so close to making, Ben? How close are we?
We have 10 calls and clicks to do in the next few minutes, so it counts. Every single one of you counts towards that 800-525-9917, because if we can get those 10 more, we're going to get an extra $400, which is going to help our station grow. Please do it right now. Now is the time. KALW.org.
And it's 800-525-9917 if you'd prefer to call on the phone. And, you know, what we think that there is something for all of you who are listening here at KLW, and we know that's why you listen. This is not monoculture public radio. This is locally grown public radio, quirky public radio that is made by the public, by you, the public, who support us, and you support us. You know, this is the, I think this is right, this is the fifth year that we have done this.
The no interruption pledge drive.
The no interruption drive, where we come in for short amounts of time. We ask you to help keep us going. You keep us going and you help us grow. So thank you so much. And please continue to do that, because it really means a lot to us.
There is a phone line open for you right now at 800-525-9917. But time is running out on Cross Currents. That means time is running out on our listener challenge to get us an extra $400. So please fill up that phone line right now, 800-525-9917. I want to give some thank yous right now. I would like to thank Carol Siegel of Orinda and Casey.
And I would like to thank Nathan Ban and Nick Pollock, also Jen Chien and Lewis Summer. Thank you so much for calling during this hour.
Also, thank you to Linda and Don Palmer in Concord and Stan the Hugh Man. And he says, if your parents weren't supportive, pledge so Ben's will continue to support him. Well, that is absolutely true, because we have this challenge right now from my pops and my stepmom. Thank you so much, you two, but we don't want to have to give your money back if we don't reach that goal of 25 calls or clicks. So that means you, please, right now, if you're listening, please go online to KALW.org or call 800-525-9917. Do it for your community. Do it to help this station grow. 800-525-9917.
Or online at KALW.org. Do it, because we know that this works. We keep doing this way because every time we come on, we only come twice a year to ask you. We don't interrupt. We do these short breaks, and every time it works. So please call. Show us that this works. Help us grow. 800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org.
Thank you so much to Darcy Drollinger for being here today. Thank you, Hana, for hosting. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We love you all, and thank you for becoming a member at 800-525-9917.